God's word from the book of Acts in the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 33, wherein we read, speaking of the apostles, "No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. 'Go, stand in the temple courts,' the angel said. 'Tell the people the full message of this new life.' At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported. 'We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, 'Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people.' And at that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. 'We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name,' he said, 'yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood.'" Speaking of Jesus. "Peter and the other apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' When they heard it, they were furious and wanted to put them to death." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. It is important for me to share with any who may be listening what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. And this is a statement of our belief taken from Colossians in the first chapter. "We believe we are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." In today's reading of the Bible from the book of Acts, the apostles of the church, the disciples of Jesus Christ, are in conflict with the leadership of the Jewish people in Jerusalem. What we heard today was actually the second time the apostles were arrested that the book of Acts tells us about. This time they were jailed, but miraculously escaped. And why were they miraculously set free? So they could escape to safety? No. The angel told them to go back out and keep doing what they'd been doing. Go back out there and do what got you arrested. Go back out there, even if the authorities have already told you not to do it. You go right ahead and do it. And you know what the apostles did? They went right back out there as the angel instructed them and were teaching the people. Now, this fifth chapter in the book of Acts contains a lot of material. So I need to set the stage for the scene we just read about. This fifth chapter follows the first arrest and release of Peter and John. They return to the rest of the disciples, and their life together is described as worship and prayer and sharing and preaching and teaching and helping the needy. The author of Acts, Luke, uses some glowing terms to describe the church in chapter 4, verse 32, saying, "All the believers were one in heart and mind." That sounds good. It sounds great. But that description of unity is not easily won or maintained. Hear me. That description of unity is not easily won or maintained. And we find out why as chapter 5 begins. I won't describe the whole thing to you. You're welcome to read it for yourself. But a husband and wife team, Ananias and Sapphira, are new believers. They decided to sell some property and give all the proceeds to the church. Somewhere along the line, Ananias had second thoughts and decided to keep some of the money from the sale. His wife Sapphira knows what he has done, promised the money, and then decided not to do it as he promised. Sapphira apparently did not object. Ananias brings the money to the apostles. But the Lord knows that Ananias has lied, and the Lord knows that Ananias has tried to keep it all a secret. The apostle, by the power of the Holy Spirit, knows what has happened and condemns Ananias. Ananias suddenly dies. And his wife also dies a few hours later. Then immediately, it says, right after that, the book of Acts says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. More and more men and women believed in the Lord. People brought the sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. So, in one chapter of Acts, chapter 5, we see church members lying, church members defrauding the church, church members conspiring to lie and defraud the church, and they're a couple, they're a family. The legitimate religious and governmental authorities are arresting the leadership of the church. The church leadership are on probation, and they violate their probation. And based on the apostles' message, some people want to kill them. So, friends, if you want to be a New Testament church, you won't be surprised if I say, no, thank you. However, if we're called to be a New Testament church, we need to say yes to that. But one more thing. In addition to all this mess inside and outside the church, we read, people are being healed and people are being saved. Reminds me of a quote I once read that reminds all of us. If you want apostolic power, it comes with apostolic responsibility, and it usually comes with apostolic problems. You get that? If you want apostolic power, it comes with apostolic responsibility, and it usually comes with apostolic problems. Now, that review of the church is quite a list of activities for the church of Jerusalem. And then this is what the preacher said. This is Peter's speech in chapter 5. We must obey God rather than human beings. I want you to remember that phrase particularly. Peter went on to say, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness, and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. That's what the preacher said. So Peter was saying, Jesus was dead, Jesus was resurrected, so there will be repentance and forgiveness, and the apostles are witnesses. They've seen it. So Jesus dead and resurrected makes possible new life. New life. And what did Jesus say about what is new? Mark chapter 2, verse 21 following. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. You see, the new life doesn't fit the old lifestyle. Now, what does this all have to do with Mother's Day? Well, I'm getting there. What else did Jesus say about the gospel and families? You remember that? Luke chapter 12? Jesus said, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two, two against three. They'll be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." I think Jesus pretty much covered all the relationships. The new life of the followers of Jesus doesn't always fit in with the old life of the family. Take Ananias and Sapphira. Apparently, secrets and lies and fraud were part of their old family life. And they were going to bring this old family life into the church. But they got called out for it. But that's not all. Oftentimes, even the authorities and government belong to the old way of life. The new way of life says we have to obey God rather than the legitimate secular authorities. This is why I'm so grateful for the freedoms that we have in this country. It allows me to do freely what I feel the Lord is calling me to do. But I tell you, if someday we are not allowed to freely do what we are doing, I have to obey God rather than men. And, my friends, and if that day comes in my lifetime, I will pray for those who persecute me, and I will forgive them, because that is also in obedience to the Lord. That is also a part of the new life the apostles talked about. Friends, the Pharisees wrestled with the issues presented in the Ten Commandments, especially the one we remember today, honor your father and your mother. But what if parents are not worthy of honor? What if they're not even believers? We only know one case where Jesus disagreed with the Pharisees on this issue of honoring parents. But the problem of God and family goes back thousands of years. The problem of God and family goes back thousands of years. The Bible is full of people who had family problems. And the Bible is full of healing and forgiveness. That one heart and mind thing mentioned in the book of Acts was not easily won. That one heart and mind thing wasn't automatically given. And it doesn't miraculously appear in people's lives. That one heart and mind thing has to be won. I've been recently reading and listening to Victor Marx, a man who works with troubled youth. He speaks their language because Victor Marx is the survivor of an abusive childhood. Many people in our jails, prisons, and court systems experienced abuse as children. That is a statistical fact. And I remind you that there are all kinds of abuse. Several kinds of abuse leave no marks on the abused person. And let me close with some of Victor Marx's testimony. Victor Marx was abandoned by his birth father and abused and neglected by his mother and stepfathers. The high school he didn't graduate from was his 14th school. Victor didn't have enough credits to graduate, but the principal gave Victor a graduation certificate on the condition that Victor never come back to the school. That's pretty rough. Fortunately for Victor, Jesus was always in Victor's peripheral vision. There were some church services that he went to. There were some speakers that he heard. There was a married couple that were friends to him. And finally, a friend in the Marines who was true to the Lord. When the Lord spoke, Victor knew it was the Lord. And this happened following a drunken night in Los Angeles. Victor heard on the car radio a Christian preacher talk about new beginnings. Just to show you how tough it can be to start a new life, Victor had heard the call of Jesus, heard the promise of new beginnings and new life, and so he got himself to a worship service. And in this worship service, Victor started crying at the altar call. Victor got down front in the church. He felt himself forgiven. And then a man's hand rested gently on Victor's shoulder, and the man asked, "Brother, can I pray for you?" And Victor spun around with his fist drawn back and snarled, "Don't ever touch me again, or I'll break your jaw. This is between me and God." Guess what happened? The man backed away. He was a smart Christian. See, people aren't immediately ready. Love takes time. Love takes time. It can be tough to receive for some people at first. It takes time. Now, if you want to know more about Victor Marx and his ministry, I recommend that you check out Victor Marx on YouTube, or you may visit victormarx.com. Victor Marx is a black belt karate expert and now ministers to troubled youth, as he himself was a troubled youth. Victor Marx talks to troubled youth about Jesus. This is all to say that if you grew up and learned all about this new life the apostles spoke about in your family, praise the Lord. If your godly family allowed you to follow the Lord's leading in your life, the Lord be praised. You have indeed been blessed. But if that wasn't a part of your life, it can still be a part of your life. If new life is new to you, that's okay. Daleville Christian Church, I pray and I hope, is in the business of new life, new beginnings. Now, if you missed the boat on new life when you were growing up, I'm not here to point blame. I know a preacher who said he grew up going to Sunday school, and he said he didn't hear a thing about Jesus Christ. That's hard to believe. What the preacher might have meant was that he wasn't listening when the topic of Jesus came up. I can't imagine that happening in Sunday school, can you? What? Kids not paying attention in Sunday school? How does that happen? The good news is you can still go to the Bible. The good news is that the good news is still available, whether you picked it up early or not, whether you had a mom or not, whether mom was Mother's Day material or not. The Lord God will be your parent. No matter how much you felt you were loved, no matter how much you think you love your kids, God loves you more. And God loves your kids more. And to that, all of us can say, praise the Lord. Take it from me. Take it from Victor Marx. New life is available from Jesus Christ. If you're a new mom or an old mom, whether you love your old family or you're in need of a new family, the Lord Jesus Christ can bring you into the family of God through his life, death, and resurrection so that we can have new life, new beginnings. We have all received the promise of a new life because of Jesus Christ. Amen.